Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I have an extraordinary show. James Montemagno, who is becoming extraordinarily well-known in Xamarin circles, and Jeremy Laval, French guy, Xamarin hacker. He's been on the Mono scene for a long time, working on various open source parts of the project. These days, he's working on improving the developer experience on Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. Meanwhile, James is a developer evangelist at Xamarin. He's been a .NET developer for over a decade, working in a wide range of industries, including game development, printer software, web services. Previously, James was a professional mobile developer on the Xamarin platform for over 2 years, with several published apps in iOS, Android, and Windows. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having us, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pretty good on my side, too.
I understand you're in Boston today, but normally you're in Ireland. Is that right?
Oh, I actually moved recently. So, yeah, I permanently moved to the US. And I'm actually talking from our beautiful office here at Xamarin in Boston.
So US by way of Ireland, by way of France.
Exactly, yeah.
Got it. Well, welcome to the States.
Thank you.
And James, you're already in the United States. You're in Seattle, is that right?
Yeah, I moved to Seattle about 3 years ago from Phoenix by way of Cleveland. So through east to west, and I'm settled here in downtown Seattle.
Beautiful downtown Seattle, where it never rains.
It never rains. It's bright and sunshiny every single day. I love it.
I have to say, when I worked for Microsoft, the first few times I went out to Seattle, it was bright and sunny. It never did rain. And I thought it was just a myth that you guys made up to keep us away. So
I can totally relate to that, because it's exactly the same situation what happens in Ireland, because in Ireland it rains all the time, but obviously when the tourists come, they're like, beautiful sunshine, and you're like, ah, you can't get the whole experience if you don't see the rain.
I gotta say, I was in Ireland for a little close to a week, and it never rained a drop, and was absolutely gorgeous and green, and you could tell why it was called the Emerald Isle. But we digress. The two of you have a history with Xamarin from even before joining the company. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I actually have a pretty interesting story to tell, I guess, how I found Xamarin and actually became a Xamarin developer and then joined Xamarin. Was that I used to work in the printer industry writing like enterprise level printer software back in Phoenix. And I went to the final PDC up here in Redmond, the Professional Developers Conference, before Build, before everything got all fancy, right? And that's when like Windows Phone was announced and Azure was coming up. And I was really excited because I was a .NET developer, a WPF developer, and things like that. So I knew XAML, I knew the markup. So Windows Phone had me excited, and mobile was hot. So I made a statement to myself, and I said, I'm going to move to Seattle, because I fell in love with the city, and I was, you know, I loved Phoenix, but I was going to move to Seattle. So I found a job at a small startup. It was about 7 developers, and they hired me for all their mobile development. They said, James, you're the guy. You're going to be our mobile developer. You're going to develop, deploy, test everything, right? Design the whole gambit. So my boss comes to me my very first day, and he says, we need to demo at CES in 2 months, and we need an Android, iOS, Windows Phone, and a Windows Store app. Go.
I love it. Did you buy a futon and move in?
Basically, luckily he had a futon in his office. So I did spend many nights there, but at that point I was a C# developer. That's all I knew. I'd been a .NET developer for a long time. And I had no idea about Objective-C or Java at all. You know, Java, we can lowercase some things and we're basically good. But I didn't know anything about iOS or Android. I'd only developed one Windows Phone app before this. And this is when, at the time, it was still in the Mono Touch and Mono for Android days. And I actually stumbled upon, from a coworker just talking about the Mono project, stumbled upon Xamarin. And I found the platform. And within the 2 months to go to CES, I had fully completed the app for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone and Windows Store, you know, for at least for like a beta to be ready for CES. And it was a great success. And I worked for this company for 2 years, you know, using Xamarin to develop all my applications. And about a year ago, I got an email from Xamarin that says, hey, would you like to interview? And I joined as a developer evangelist because I already loved the product so much. And all I wanted to do was talk about it. So it was a perfect opportunity for me to go, having a lot of experience on the platform, and then take it over to the evangelist, where I get to talk to developers all day and see what they're working on and help them. So it's pretty much awesome.
It is a very cool story. And one of the things I'd like to find some time to talk with you about is the whole role of the evangelist versus developer and how that's working for you, and whether you find, like I did, that one of the prices you pay is that you move a little bit further away from serious coding.
I think it's definitely a little bit tricky because as an evangelist, you know, you always still have to keep up to date on all the new technologies that are coming out, because you're going and giving talks all the time to developers that are also keeping up to date. So for me, and when I joined Xamarin, they told me in general, like, you're not going to stop developing. Part of your job is to develop. So I'm still developing apps actively, publishing apps, publishing a lot of samples, blogging about it, and then obviously giving talks as well, and then giving back to the community. So I think that's the important part, is if you can find a company, and like the best part about Xamarin is just wonderful people. You know, the first time I met Jeremy, it was the first time I went ever to Boston. We went out the first night, and you know, him and I had talked on IRC and HipChat a whole bunch, and we just hit it off, and just everyone at the company is wonderful. So just taking all of that and then still developing and then still getting to play with all the toys and then, you know, talk about it has been fantastic for me, at least.
Well, I will say that some of your samples have certainly saved my bacon, and so I appreciate them. And Jeremy, do you have a similar story to tell about how you came to Xamarin?
Actually, it's slightly different for me because I have kind of like a very long history with Xamarin, which kind of dates back to the roots of what Xamarin was before. Because my story is that I was, when I was still a student, basically, even high school student at the time, I started working on Mono, which is, as you may know, Mono is like the free and open source re-implementation of the .NET runtime that Xamarin products are based on. So Mono is still there, obviously, it's still an open source project. But so as I started working on that, it was essentially my first kind of foray into open source software in the first place. Because I started using Mono, then I started obviously finding bugs, then trying to fix them, and that kind of got me on the way to become initially a Mono contributor. And then as I reached college, there is this fantastic program from Google, which is called Google Summer of Code. So basically, just in small summary, it's basically the idea of the program is that Google uses so much open source software in their infrastructure that they wanted to give back something to the community. So the idea was that they would hire students during the summer, so for 3 months basically, and then pay them to work on open source software from different projects. And so Mono was part of the first organization essentially to participate in the program. So I got essentially paid by Google to work full time during the summer on Mono. And so I did that a couple of times. From then on, I actually joined Novell, which was the company that was sponsoring Mono at the time. And basically from then on, you know, I followed the transition to Xamarin after that. So that's kind of my story. It's like, and the funny thing is that I can't even remember why I went to Mono in the first place. Like, why would I choose Mono and C# as a first language? I guess it's just one of those things. You know, you try a couple of different things and then it just sticks. So I think C# and Mono was just the thing that's, you know, stuck with me to this day because, you know, I'm still there. So I'm still enjoying it.
I think it's because when you find C#, you're like, all right, I'm good. I found the best programming language available. I think we're good here.
Absolutely.
And I think it was, I think it was actually around the time that they added we still had so .NET 2, I think, just came out, and I think Mono basically had started to implement .NET 2, which, you know, included like the generics. So basically it was, I guess, you know, from a point of view of the language, I think, you know, C# 2 was basically the first version of the language that was actually nice and like an improved version because, you know, C# 1 was still mostly a Java clone, and it was only at the time of C# 2 that I feel like, you know, we got generics, we got anonymous, like not lambdas, but, you know, anonymous delegates and stuff like that. So it, you know, it finally started to reach like an interesting, being like, you know, a mature kind of interesting language. So I think I basically joined at exactly the right time.
I got to tell you, I got the early bits of C# at PDC 2000. And at the time I was heavily invested in C++. That I had spent a number of years and I had written some books and I did not want anything to supplant C++. I saw C# and I never turned back. and I haven't touched C++ since because C# is just, first of all, memory management is a wonderful thing. And that brings us back to Xamarin, the ability to build iOS applications, native iOS applications and native Android applications, not worry about memory management, take advantage of C# and .NET is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I feel like Mono is actually almost like one of the best, like if you look at like, the landscape of like open source kind of VMs and JITs and stuff like that. I feel like we probably have one of the best GC also around. So we did a good job. I mean, Microsoft is obviously doing an excellent job, and you know, Java, like in a closed source kind of form, But in the open source world, I feel like we have one of the best GCR on there. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting piece of technology.
That was one thing when I started development on Xamarin 3 years ago now. That's exactly the reason I went to this language and to C#. And with Xamarin is because I didn't have to worry about that at all. I'd done C, C++. I messed around with Java a tiny little bit. And there's always the IDEs, and I was a Visual Studio guy forever. And I didn't have to want to worry about all of that. And that's when I found Xamarin. And honestly, like, it was almost like finding C# again for the first time when you're like, this is everything I want to do. And the tools are all there. So, and that's the nice thing is, like Jeremy was saying, is with Mono, like, the GC is fantastic. I've never really had to worry about, of course, you know, I architect and do certain things correctly in my application and architecture, but I've never really had anyone complain about a GC issue. I've never really seen issues with the garbage collector or any like memory management issues. Like, everything just works. And that's what's been to me a joy. And now that I get to talk about it as well. So,
well, the timing on this discussion is great because Xamarin 3, I think, in some ways, is almost as, not quite, but almost as revolutionary as Xamarin itself, in the sense of making Xamarin available to developers and lowering the bar to entry.
I think so. And Xamarin 3, I think with Xamarin 3, the launch of multiple products, I mean, it was over, you know, a year's worth of work. And Jeremy worked, you know, on the storyboard editor and a lot of other things as well. But with Xamarin Forms, when I went and just started to talk to more and more developers, it was always this barrier of entry. Like, I understand the shared code story. I understand .NET. I understand how to write some platform-specific code, but mapping out every single user interface for some applications that were very small or just data entry screens was a little bit tedious, right? So we wanted to get rid of that tedium in the process. And then we bring in the XAML part, right? I mean, to me, when I found XAML for the first time, it was mind-blowing, like years ago when I did WPF development. I was like, this is exactly what I want. So when I did Android development, I was actually right at home because it's an XML language just without the data binding. So when I did Android, that's why Android's my favorite platform to develop on, even to this day, just by itself. It is crazy, and I love every bit about it, and I think Jeremy is the same. But the Xamarin Forms can take away some of that craziness and actually make it more feasible. So,
well, I want to come back to that about Android being your favorite platform, but saying it's like XAML but without the data binding is like saying it's like coffee without the caffeine.
That's true. It's a little bit, I mean, there's some data binding. There's resource binding in the Android XML. I think at least for me, because when I was doing iOS and Android development and Windows development as well, like with iOS, like, you're in this editor, you have to drag and drop, and it was almost like WinForms development for me, and I never wanted to go back there. But at least with Android, like, I understood what was going on in the XML, and I was okay binding it up in the behind because I was in MVVM style of development always. But yeah, it definitely felt a lot lacking, and that's just Android development as a whole, unfortunately. So, but Xamarin Forms, like, really fixes a lot of that. So,
do you think Xamarin Forms brings MVVM back to the party?
I think MVVM has always been part of the party, to be honest with you. I mean, or an MVC type of approach. When I give talks on MVVM, it's always like, it's just an architectural pattern, right? It's that framework that really brings it to the next level. And that's what Xamarin Forms is. It is that framework that all the hard work that we've been doing of architecting our applications in an MVVM or MVC style, it just breathes new life into it. I don't know how you feel about it, Jeremy, as well, with an MVVM approach.
I don't know. I'd say personally, I follow mostly, you know, I mostly develop on Android, so I never really took like a, I guess I'm more like of a hacker in the sense of, you know, I try to piece things together, try to get the best like native result on my platform of choice. And then, you know, architecturally wise, I'm probably not the best example out of there. So if you want to look at my code to get like all the nitty gritty details of like a perfect animation, maybe. But if you actually look at me for like, you know, the best architecture out of there, it's probably not a good idea.
So what you do is you take Jeremy's applications with all these amazing, crazy Android animations and effects, and then you take my architecture patterns of my apps, you shove those together, and it's a thing of beauty.
Now, you two really are Android fanboys, and can you talk a little bit about why that? I mean, Xamarin clearly targets three platforms, iOS, Android, and, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Is it iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, or is it iOS, Android, and Windows Phone? You know, how significant a player is Windows Phone?
Well, I mean, Xamarin itself, right? I mean, our core products are Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and Xamarin Mac. And then the beauty part of just Xamarin in general is your C# code just works on Windows Phone or Windows Store. Now, Xamarin Forms, it really is to me, even developing and demoing it, it is iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. It's all three, right, to me. If you're a Windows Phone developer, I mean, I started in Windows Phone, and I think the metro to modern design is a thing of beauty. So I even take a little bit more care to do some custom rendering and spruce up the Windows Phone version, but there's care in there. So you can sell that the accent colors are used correctly in list views and get access to those properties. So when you're in a list and you set a background, you just make it transparent and it just follows the natural, the theming of Windows Phone. So to me, it's all three when you use Xamarin Forms.
But the two of you, given your own druthers, would go to Android. And why is that?
Jeremy?
Well, I was going to say, like, I'm not that familiar essentially with Windows Phone because I never really did like a full Windows Phone application, but I always like regarded Windows Phone as like still a very interesting platform. Like, I would watch essentially PDC and then build, talks, because I felt like Microsoft was like, especially on design, you know, we still have to remember that before iOS 7 came, before Android L no came, you know, Microsoft was probably the first player to have such a bold kind of like design intention with flat UI and like very specific care given to like, you know, oh, things should be laid out on the screen or like animation transition should be done. You know, I felt like they were the first one to really have like a very profound design inspired guideline before iOS 7 and then before Android L now. So always very interesting. But the thing, I think it's basically for the matter of Android, I feel like it's almost like, well, like the same way I told you about Mono in the first place. I think it just clicked essentially. I mean, on my day job, like here at Xamarin, I do pretty much all of them. So I would work on WPF, I would work on iOS, I do Cocoa, you know, UIs. But then it's essentially, yeah, what you know matters at the end of the day is that when I go home and I want to hack on my own projects, I always go back to Android because I feel like it's the platform that clicks with me kind of like.
Is that the phone you carry?
That's the phone I carry.
And Joseph made me go out and get a Nexus 5. Was that the right phone?
Oh, yeah. It's a perfect choice.
I think so, yeah. And I think I'm very much the same with Jeremy. I mean, I came into mobile development only doing Windows Phone. And as I'm developing for all four platforms, Android, you get into the bits and you're like, why is this working? How does this work? And then you start realizing what Android is doing under the hood, like why activities get killed and how fragments work and then how the resource folder like actually is being used. And I think that's when it clicked and I was like, this is it. When I started basically, I wouldn't say abusing the resource folder, but taking advantage of all the power that is built into the specific layouts for different screen sizes and different value folders with DPI and or DIP, the DIP and the integers and just string values and then how everything just works. I was used to just a ResX world and now I have this power of I could have this grid and then I could say I have, you know, three columns on a 7-inch screen or four columns on a 10-inch screen and I just have to change one attribute and I don't have to change anything in code. And then the sizing and just how just everything worked. And then I did a lot of work on putting Android software with Xamarin on a television and working and interfacing with like an IR remote. And to actually see it all work, I was like, this actual OS is crazy powerful and it's super complex and you can do so much, but it's like a huge disaster, but it's in a beautiful disaster. Because when you find out, when you get into the bits of how it works, you're like, yes, I just want to do this more and more. So when I get home at the end of the day and I start hacking on code, I'm just like loving it. I'm like a kid at a candy store because there's so many little intricate things that you can do with it. And then when I see Jeremy do crazy things, I'm like, how did he do that? And I just want to look in his code. And we had a great story of we actually both were working on fitness apps at the same time. I was working on an app called My Step Counter, which is open source. And Jeremy was working on an app called Biker that would track bike distances as you're biking around the city and give you different miles or kilometers you've traveled. And then I was doing a step counter with the Android built-in pedometer. And then we started realizing we were doing this at the same time. And we created an entire blog post series on it and, you know, put it on the Xamarin blog and open source all the projects in the same day. And it was just really fun to see what Jeremy was doing in animations and how I was doing animations and then how much you can learn because you can do something like five different ways in Android and all of them are correct. you know.
Yes, so. Now I get it. The two of you are complete bitheads.
I'll totally follow exactly what James said. And plus the fact, I mean, that's also one thing to note is that Android is the only mobile platform that is actually fully open source, meaning you can, you know, it's even more guilty pleasure because you can, you know, if you don't understand something and you want to go very deep in something, well, the source code is here. So you can always just go inside and see exactly how it's done running on your device. And then you can, you know, tweak to the last, very last kind of, you know, line just to make it look like, make it work the way you want it to work. So that's why I think it's also very resonating with like the hacker culture of like, you know, I want to get this thing perfect and, you know, done to the detail.
And you feel that that's harder to do or impossible to do in iOS?
I feel so, yeah, because like I'm working also like on a lot of iOS things because obviously I'm like working here on the iOS designer as well as the Android designer. But, you know, I'm doing so iOS things, I'm doing Cocoa things even on the desktop. And it's always so much harder, you know, when you're trying to do something and then you're pushing the limits of the framework and, you know, the framework basically at some stage just don't follow you anymore and you have no idea why. There's a website called GrepCode, which basically just gives me that. I just like input like a class name and then it gives me the source code, annotated source code of that class. It helps me so much. You wouldn't believe how helpful it is. And sometimes, yeah, when I do the same thing for iOS or Mac or Cocoa, I wish I had the same thing essentially.
I feel like when you're developing, you as a developer, we run into issues all day. We come to a stopping point where now we're binging and we're Googling everything and reading books and trying to dive into the documentation. Sometimes the documentation isn't good enough and you really need to get into those bits. And I can't, and I'm just like Jeremy, I cannot say how many times I've actually dived into the Android source code to just figure out how it's actually working and how I can make optimizations on top of it or just, you know, make this work perfectly that I was going for but couldn't get without actually looking at the source code. So that's the interesting part to me. And I think me combining it with all the resources and how the layouts work and the XML, like it just takes it to the next level of development for me because it's crazy and complex but amazing. So
okay, well, you got to put down the storyboard designer and the Android designer and start work on your XAML designer. Because that is clearly the missing piece for Xamarin Forms. Is we've got XAML, but no designer to go with it. And just empty silence. I don't expect you to really respond to that because whatever it is you know, you couldn't tell me.
We love feedback. Feedback is important. We have a user voice at xamarin.uservoice.com. We love feedback, yes.
Yeah. And I'll just say, you know, the way Miguel said it like the last time at Evolve is like, you know, if you think, you know, wouldn't it be cool if Xamarin did X? You know, there's good chances that maybe we're doing it. We're thinking about it.
Yeah. Fair enough. And I'll take that as a very optimistic statement.
Exactly.
So the two of you both alluded to going home and continuing to hack on projects. Is this the story of your life, that you work at Xamarin N hours a day and then you work at home hacking for the rest of your awake time?
I wouldn't say not all hours. But I will say, me personally, I've always been working. You know, it's always been hard to turn off my on switch for development. I'm lucky enough my girlfriend understands that. So she, you know, we try to set some time aside. But for me, when I get home, and if I get caught into a project, like when I was working on my step counter, I would stop working and I would stay up till 4 o'clock because I was in the zone. I was just going to town. And for me, like, I continue to work. I'm always very active on the forum. So to me, when I go home or when I'm done hacking, it's a little bit of different hacking. It's hacking on code, hacking on samples, but also helping the community since I'm an evangelist. It's responding on Twitter and going to the forums and seeing what issues people are running into or how I can help them and create a sample. So to me, it's a little bit different hacking. I wouldn't get to say I work on as many projects as I'd like to anymore since, you know, that's not my full day-to-day job. But it's nice when you open up an IDE and you just start coding and like you're in the zone and that makes me really happy. So, but I cycle most of the time. Jeremy and I are both avid cyclers, I guess. So,
and before you leave that topic, when you open up your IDE, is it Xamarin Studio or Visual Studio?
For me, it's about 50-50 right now. I was a Visual Studio guy all my life, but I go back and forth between the two. Just if I'm working on a Windows Phone project or on Xamarin Forms, and I like to have everything open so I can just debug on all three at the same time is very nice. Just some of the features. But I will say, more and more I use Now that I'm on a Mac full time, even though I have a PC side by side, it's really nice to work on my Android applications and just everything works silky smooth without having to open up a VMware back and forth. So I do about 50-50, I would say.
I got to say, I moved this year to a single machine, to a Mac, a fully loaded MacBook Pro, and the ability to have Xamarin Studio open in the Mac, and then when I needed Visual Studio open in Parallels against Bootcamp on the same machine, and talking to the Mac through the Mac host is a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful experience. I think to me that's the ideal experience. I go back and forth. Sometimes I just do it fully on the PC, but that is a great experience because the simulator just pops right on top and is pretty beautiful.
Yep. Then you add a couple of Thunderbolt displays and there's no reason to get up.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's true.
Before I let you guys go, you are going to be speaking at Evolve. Can you tell me a little bit about Evolve and what you'll be doing there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Jeremy, why don't you tell about some of the sessions you're given?
Sure. So we are doing basically kind of an Android track. So we are going to go over, you know, the usual stuff, which is basically, you know, what's new in the product, what's new in Xamarin Android. But we also have a couple of nice sessions on the newly announced. So Google recently announced at Google I/O a couple of new things, including like the entire new range of wearable devices with their smartwatch based on something called Android Wear. And they also basically gave us a sneak peek at Android L, which is the next big version of Android. And so we're going to have a couple of tracks. So I'm going to have one specific talk, for instance, with James together on stage, where we're going to go over essentially the new things that came out during the conference. And now you can obviously use Xamarin and Xamarin Android to target those topic, including, as I said, Android Wear, the new material design paradigm that Google is, you know, shifting to, et cetera, et cetera. So all new and exciting stuff.
I think that this year for Android, I've never been more excited for a release. I think it's one of the largest evolutions of the Android platform from a design from a design point of view that I think we've ever seen. It is really that gingerbread to ice cream sandwich jump, but even more than that to an extent. When we sat down in a lot of the Google I/O sessions, and you can even watch them online now, they've spent so much time and energy into design documentation for developers, into just animations and the really tiny bits. I think just Jeremy and I, we sparked an entire discussion. And what our concept for this was from design concept to implementation, right? What does material design mean to Android developers today? What does it mean to Xamarin Forms developers today? How's it going to transition and evolve and make your application on Android stand out in a sea of millions of applications, right? I mean, the Android Google Play store is ginormous. That's going to be, I think, Jeremy and I, when we decided and we're like, we need to do this session, we just were like, again, kids in a candy store, because we just, 1,000 ideas jumped into our heads. And I have a pretty good session. I'm very excited. I have an entire session on, again, Android, but it's all about effective navigation. So using the Android navigation drawer and combining this with the Android L preview and different toggle animations and the up arrow, Android has about, you know, 5 different ways to navigate. So going through all that, I think, is really interesting when you want to brand your application. But then the animations, and Jeremy's giving another talk. What's the title of it on the Evolve website? I gotta look.
It's actually kind of an experiment talk, because it's going to be even broader than Android. It's going to cover all platform, because essentially the root of like, what is animation? What do you see on screen? What does it map to in the physical world? So basically the session is called Mastering Time and Space. So it's a little bit of a pompous title, but essentially, yeah, the idea is going to be kind of cover the basics of what animation is, and using real world example of Disney. So if you are a fan of Disney movies and stuff like that, there's actually a very huge basically knowledge that the Disney acquired over the years that I'm going to brush onto essentially, and it can relate to what we're doing today, essentially in the mobile world. So it should be a pretty interesting talk.
The timing on Evolve is intriguing, because the fall is when many people expect some new products from Apple and some upgrades from Apple and potentially new things from Google and potentially new things from Microsoft. How do you handle preparing a whole conference that can be impacted by all those changes?
The lack of sleep, probably.
I think that they will keep us on our toes, and If I didn't get to go to Evolve last year, unfortunately, I wasn't working for Xamarin at the time, and my company wouldn't send me. But I've never been more excited for a conference, even though I'm presenting, but even just going to a lot of the sessions. I think that it's just like any other conference. You never really know what these companies are going to do. Luckily, WWDC and I/O already happen, so we have a pretty good view of what's going to be happening on the Android and iOS. But who really knows about official release dates there? But I think it's just we'll be on our toes, and we have a lot of. If you go to the Evolve website, there's a lot of top secret things that are exciting. So
I noticed that.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the best lines was top secret. You know what I mean? But yeah, they just keep us on our toes, and I think like Jeremy says, lack of sleep, especially going up to the event, seeing what happens.